Coming up on the podcast, a foundation player joins us to lay down the foundations. We review not one, but two games as Warrington finally start to show some form. Sam comes up with Primrose and Blue facts. We cut Madam Boyd some slack, as rumour has it there's a new section to the show. And Mutiny on HJ may continue to steer off course, but Captain Stevie seems to have found added confidence. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say? Hello, welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London, yes, here with another factual and almost humorous podcast. So talking of which, where are my two podcasting court jesters? Firstly, he's our very own statistical, satirical and sarcastic co-host. It's Sam, I Once Got a Laugh in Series 2, Episode 24, Sankey!
Are you sure I got a laugh? Hello.
And not forgetting a man deeply eluded that thinks we're laughing along with him, when we're actually laughing at him. It's Dennis Slapstick Waywell.
All right.
But this week, we too have a comedian that puts us three amateurs to shame. A brilliant young man that plays for the Warrington Foundation team. And if that's not enough, he also runs his own comedy YouTube channel. Welcoming to the podcast, it's Jake the Joker Lindsay.
Hello, everyone.
Now, it's great to have you on, Jake. We've got to clear this up, first of all. How many Warrington Foundation teams are there? And can you say them all within the next hour?
No. There's roughly about 10 of us.
So run through the teams, mate, and which one you play for.
There's physical, learning, walking touch, wheelchair, women's, girls, boys, whatever. I play for the learning.
All right, calm down. That's enough, Jake. So you play for the learning, mate?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the difference between walking and walking touch?
Walking, so they just play normal walking rugby, but walking touch, they also add touch rugby into it as well.
Oh, very good. Excellent. And the reason that you sort of qualify for your team?
I have autism spectrum disorder, or Asperger's, as I label it.
Right. Okay. And what sort of the what are the sort of
Can we just explain that for everyone on Facebook, Jake?
Asperger's is a lower side of the scale, and it goes up to high functioning. So I'm pretty much lower. I can function much more than somebody who has higher functioning autism can.
Okay. 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 And what are the symptoms, mate? It's loud noises mainly, isn't it, that you struggle with?
Yeah, so alarms, things like that, I struggle with. Or an unexpected change in my schedule can be horrible.
Right, got you. How are you with caveats? Sam might mention, don't press the caveat alarm tonight, Dennis. Get your hand away from that button.
I have got a bit of a soundy section in Fails of the Unexpected, but there's no alarms on it, so we should be fine.
And Jake, who's your favourite player, mate? I know you've got a picture up there on the wall behind you, but that's just a poster of this month's player, isn't it? Who's your favourite player?
I'd have to go with Danny Walker.
Who?
Danny Walker.
Danny fucking...
Jesus Christ. Who's that? Who is
Danny
that
Walker?
Who's this month? Who's that this month?
Blake Austin.
On the wall? Oh, that's really unfortunate.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
about
that.
It's not a good month, is it?
No. I mean, I think your condition's easily acceptable, Jake, but in terms of having a picture of Blake Austin behind you, that's terrible. Absolutely terrible. Which players would you like to see sort of leave the wire at the end of this season? We've got 14... that are about to possibly look for a new contract. Any of those that you'd sort of show the door?
Definitely Flaky Blake.
Oh, Flaky Blake, I like it. Mm. You're right there, Sam. You seem to have frozen.
No, yeah. I'm just listening along. It's lightning out here. I'm just worried about my dog about to howl. That's what I'm worried about.
Which side are you playing for then, Sam?
He's playing for,
are you playing for the walking?
He's playing for the caveat
touch.
Walkers. I think that's who he's playing.
I'm playing for the least exercise as possible.
We should point out tonight, Jake, that Sam's had a drink. He seems to have come out of lockdown. He's gone out for some shitty fishy platter in town, which he sent me a picture of that I woke up to, which was just basically ice with a couple of prawns on it. But he's got a big smirk on his face. So you're happy today, Sam?
I've had a couple of oysters. I'm feeling the mood.
Oh, dear. Now, Jake, you also have a YouTube channel, which is hilarious. Just want to tell everyone about what you've been doing there on YouTube?
Yeah, well, I actually have two channels. One is called The Jake Lindsay Show,
I've got two channels.
The Jake Lindsay Show is studio-based, so we chat to people. We talk about positive things, whilst we have The Jake Lindsay Show vlog show as well, which is going out on location and showing people interesting things that are going on within the community.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we're going to put a link on the podcast to your YouTube channel so everyone can take a look and see what a fantastic job you're doing, mate. We should probably crack on, shouldn't we, boys? Dennis?
What sort of comedy do you like, Jake? Because just so that we can maybe home in on that in our podcast, because some have said that we're actually quite funny. Not many.
I'd have to go for the likes of Tommy Cooper, the more slapstick side of comedy.
Big fan of that. Fair enough. That doesn't mean you can have a stroke now on the programme, Dennis. And we have to drag you off stage with everyone applauding. Okay, we've got two games to review, so we'll go to the first one, and that was Hull KR, which was on the Our League app. I couldn't watch this, unfortunately, because I have no way of actually tuning in to the Our League app. Dennis, you're in the same boat as me, I think, aren't you?
Well, this week I've had my new 5G delivered, although I've had some temperamental problems with it, and by a matter of fact, it came with a complete unlock to all unsecure apps.
Oh, excellent.
And I managed to watch the game.
Oh, brilliant.
That week.
Did you watch it, Jake? So, did you manage to get tuned in and watch it?
Yep, I went to the King's Head with my friend. There's a vlog about it coming tonight.
Oh, excellent. Well, all I can say is that the guy on the radio was very descriptive. I almost felt like I was there. It was amazing. I'm not quite sure how he managed to do that. But anyway, we'll see that as we talk about the game. So the Wire team was Ashton, Charnley, King, Inglis, Ratchford, Widdop, Hill, Clark, Cooper, Curry, Hughes and Matt Davis again at 13. Interchange bench was Jason Clark, Philbin, Akawala and Walker. Final score, Warrington 50, Hull Kingston Rovers 26. Half-time score, though, was 18-12 to Hull KR. The tries for Warrington came from King, Curry with two, Inglis, Daryl Clark, Mamo and Charnley with two, and one from Walker. Ratchford kicked seven goals with a 77.77% kicking ratio. We'll talk about that first half first. Jake, cast your mind back to that first half. What were you thinking at half-time, mate?
I was thinking we've got absolutely no chance. Our defence is just awful. We're going to lose this big time.
If you want to swear, Jake, on the podcast, you can. You don't have to say awful. You can ramp that up if you want to. Dennis, were you thinking the same, mate?
What stage is this?
Every week we come to Dennis. He's got no idea what's going on anymore. He's just. What's the point?
I'm just looking at all my notes, and I'm just wondering which particular point you want me to pick up on.
When we were 18-12 down at half time, Dennis, what was the vibe? Maybe. What was the vibe in the Waywell House?
Yeah. They were very entertaining, Hull KR, weren't they?
Sam, let's come on to the professional, mate. Sum up that first half for us, mate.
Okay, I felt that we didn't come out in the game with anywhere near the level of intensity that we did on the previous couple of weeks against Hull.
Bit like your sentence then when you started.
Exactly. Against Hull or against bloody hell, it's, I don't know, you can hear that thunder. Can you hear that thunder in the background? The
Do
gods
you think
are not.
When Parkinson's like interviewing Raquel Welsh, he suddenly stops and says, "Bloody hell, can you hear that thunder, Raquel?"
No, he's looking at his tits.
We didn't come out with anywhere near the right intensity. We scored a couple of lovely tries, but we were very loose. And I was a bit concerned. I felt we had plenty in us to win the game, but we needed a change in attitude for the second half.
That right-hand side was like a revolving door, wasn't it? Who did we have out there on that right-hand side? Was it Mamo, Hughes? Who else was out on that side, Sam, that was just...
It was Toby. It was Man in the News, Toby King, wasn't it?
And he got Man of the Match.
Well, do you want me to come on to his stats now?
Oh, yes, please, Sam. Yes, that would be good.
Over the course of the 80 minutes, I understand why he got Man of the Match. One try...
Hang on. Jake, brace yourself. This is going to be a caveat. Brace yourself.
No, one try, two try assists, 16 tackles, apparently just two misses, which surprised me, although I think both of them led to tries, four tackle busts, one attacking kick that led to a try, two offloads, 11 carries for 172 metres and two clean breaks.
Oh.
So his overall game was good, but in that first half, for me, he was possibly directly responsible for two of their tries.
Yeah. I don't think any way, shape or form, if that was NRL, he's getting Man of the Match. You know, that's what I always think the difference between how soft Super League is. I mean, you've just come out with 24 caveats there to back him up, but... If you let two tries in the first half like that, I think it's a bit of a non-starter as Man of the Match.
I think in Super League, though, Rob, they're looking more at the positives than the negatives.
Is that why they've not beaten the Australians for 50 years?
Yeah, possibly, because he had a good game, but there was two or three glaring errors and they just washed over them.
What did you think, Jake? How would you sum up Tobias King's game against Hull KR in that first half?
It was all right.
Well, that's more than we get from Dennis.
Yeah, well, that's exactly how I would describe it. It was all right.
Well, second half, we certainly kicked into life. I was a bit surprised how little Hull KR went to their left side in that second half, Dennis. And, you know, it all seems to be that was the winning formula during that game, that we were having problems out there, but we just absolutely blitzed them. It was an entertaining game of rugby league.
It was, wasn't it? I mean, you know, we had Hull KR doing all the best in the first half, but I'm going to look at the significant difference here. Is this the week where it was tested to see whether Blake Austin had indeed lost his passport or whether he was dropped? And I just felt that the balance of the side was a lot better in the halves. And I think that really, you know, the first half was very, you know, very competitive, this, that and the other. But in the second half, it was almost as if they found the feet and, you know, started to sort of control the game. It's my interpretation of what was happening there.
Would you sort of bring Flaky Blake back into the team, Jake? How do you see it at the moment? Do you think we're playing a better style of football without him?
Just drop him altogether. We did better without him.
Oh, dear. Are you not going to set that calendar down, Jake, now? You might as well just move it over, aren't you, to June?
Right, OK. Well, let's move on to the second game, and that was against Catalans in the Challenge Cup. The Wire team it was a late change. Well, possibly not a late change, because it seems to have been that they knew earlier in the week. But English started at fullback, Foulis on the wing, Mamo and King in the centre. Charnley kept his place on the other wing. Austin came in at the last minute because Stephen Ratchford pulled a muscle in his nose. Widdop, Hill, Clark, Cooper, Curry Hughes and Jason Clark at 13. Interchange bench was Walker, Akawala, Philbin and Mulhern. Final score, Catalan 6, Warrington 16. Here's the highlights.
Look at this. Toby King is away, got support inside as well, and Darrell Clark is going to be too quick. Warrington red hot inside a couple of minutes.
I'm blinded by your grace, by your grace. I'm blinded.
On the left hand side with Widdop, no way through for Inglis immediately. Hey! It was far in his face this time.
Release him! Need to put him on the floor, he's lost the ball and got gained the penalty.
Widdop is on target.
By your grace, you came and saved me, Lord.
This is the last one. Darrell Clark The runner is Hill. Chris Hill fires an offload. It's two for Darrell Clark. Inside 26 minutes.
By your grace, you came and saved me.
This is Inglis, and Inglis trying to get away from one.
It's a high shot from Mike Vermeeken. He's got a really good friend, hasn't he, Greg Inglis?
32-year-old has. 250th career appearance, remember. 2-0 points for the Warrington Wolves. They lead 16-0.
My phone flips and I tell him that we got this. This is God's plan, they can never stop this. Like, wait right there, could you stop my verse?
Warrington have to withstand two more here. Dudson flicks the ball, comes to Drinkwater through the legs, for Farrick over the top, and will be in. Vermeeken scores for the Dragons.
If it's me, I'm blinded by your grace.
As Widdop takes it forward for Warrington, as the hooter goes, the referee calls a halt to this contest, and it's Darrell Clark, the hero, as Warrington take their place in the Challenge Cup semi-finals in 2021.
I said a prayer this morning. I prayed I would find a way to another day. I was so afraid.
All right, we'll come on to the fourth minute. Toby King runs a great line with great determination to break from his own half. He patiently waits for Darrell Clark to make himself available on the inside before drawing Tompkins and sending a perfectly timed pass for Darrell Clark to run away to score under the sticks. No Ratchford, so Widdop takes over the kicking duties, and it's 6-0. Well, I sort of, you know, said Toby King didn't play too well against Hull KR, Sam, but what a try to open up the game there. Brilliant run.
Yeah, it was almost a carbon copy of when we played Catalans over in France, wasn't it, when from behind the ruck, from inside our own half, Darrell Clark broke and took his time waiting for the correct pass to Ben Curry. It was almost a carbon copy of that. And to come so early and to break them up the middle, it was brilliant. It was the perfect start to a game that could have been very, very difficult.
I think that put another 10 grand on Darrell Clark's price tag to go to the NRL. He does seem to be in form at the moment, doesn't he? Like, constantly, week in, week out. Last year he sort of faded away a bit.
Yeah.
But this year he's been one of our prominent players, if not our best player in the team. Jake, who do you think the best player in the team is at the moment, mate?
I would have to go for Jake Mamo. Oh.
Have you been taking notes from Dennis this week or something?
Yes.
Just Dennis keeps nodding to everything you say. I think you found a new mate here, Dennis.
Yes, I think I have. He's on my wavelength, he's old Jake.
Oh, dear. 18th minute, Wire extend their lead to 8-0 after a well-struck penalty kick from Widdop. In the highlights there, listening back to them, Sam, okay, Inglis might not be doing too much, but he did come up with two penalties, both the penalties that Wire kick come off the back of Inglis. I thought the first one was classic, sort of a guy you can see who's played at Origin level.
Yes.
Just gave him the ball, didn't he? He was like, thank you very much, you can have that.
And at first I thought, what the hell's gone on there? And then it showed a replay from a different angle. And I think it was Maloney was holding onto the ball. And as you say, he just thought, all right then, I'll just let go of it. Penalty to us.
Did him like a kipper. Absolute kipper. Did you have any kippers on your seafood platter tonight? Because it looked like you did.
I didn't, but I think we need to. We're brushing over something, aren't we? We're brushing over where the form of Greg Inglis is coming from. It's coming from the lucky dog piss.
Oh, yes. Now, we should probably point out at this stage that a couple of weeks ago, with Greg Inglis living basically on the back of Sam's house, Sam went for a walk. He's been stalking him now for, what, about 3 months, Sam, would you say? You know exactly what goes in his bins. I mean, it's all been happening.
I think, no. Before you go any further, I think we would say for 24 years I've lived in this house and walked the same walk virtually every day with the dog.
Well, that dead-end walk you keep walking on now.
Yeah, so
how do you explain that you are actually in his bin, though, Sam? You know,
Sam walked past his house and lo and behold, who should be going to the game but Greg Inglis? So Sam wished him the best of luck. And then what followed was Sam's dog having a piss on his front lawn, which ended up with him winning. So this week we said, Sam, get round there, make sure your dog pisses on Greg Inglis's front door. Not front door, on his front lawn.
Are we going for a big win?
And if we start losing, he's going to do a shit on the driveway, isn't he, Sam? So.
He is indeed. He is, yes.
Oh, dear. 26-minute terrific power from Hill, plus a brilliant offload to Daryl Clark to score his second. Widdop converts, and it's 14-0. Joe, we've been saying this for a while on the podcast now, that Chris Hill looks like a different player now. The captaincy's been taken away from him.
Yeah, definitely.
He just seems to run strongly, Dennis. He just seems to be in a different league than he was 12 months ago.
Could you repeat that, please?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
You told me to say that last week. If you didn't hear me, well, I was reading something. You said, oh, a professional.
What are you reading? We're recording. What are you reading?
I'm reading the highlights. I'm just making sure of me notes what I'm going to say next. Sam's got his hand up anyway. It's like Teams. This is like Teams, this, Jake. Look, he's put his hand up.
Come on, Sam.
Yeah, I think with Chris Hill, I was actually looking at...
Oh, Chris Hill.
Yeah, I was looking at... Yes, that's right, Dennis, Chris Hill. I was looking at Chris Hill and how he's performed this year.
How many times can you look at Chris Hill?
Through, if you put the right filter on, it's not so bad. Every single game, and this is Super League only, because as we know, for the Challenge Cup games, nobody publishes the stats. For the Super League games, every single match, he's achieved over 100 metres. He's our leading metre maker, and he's consistent week in, week out. And I agree with you, Rob. Whether it be that he's no longer got the captaincy, or whether it be he's had a good rest through the winter because he's not played any representative football, he looks like a different player.
Hmm. I think he's worth another contract. I mean, I think he's been a terrific servant to the club, and I thought, well, now's the time that he heads off to Lee. But based on what I've seen so far this year, I see no reason why you wouldn't want to keep him on, obviously a reduced salary, but I'd be disappointed if we lose him at the end of the year. Jake, would you like to keep Chris Hill come next season?
Yes.
Yeah, think he's doing a good job.
Yep.
Yeah, good on you. 31st minute, Weiger, a lucky break, a chip over the top bounces into no man's land for Drinkwater to claim and score. Video ref shows Drinkwater from the kick to be a metre offside and the try is ruled out. I mean, for 1 minute then, I thought Greg had made an absolute shocker, Dennis. He seemed to be not quite sure what to do. He let it bounce. He was too far back. They'd mentioned it on Sky just how far back he stands. He got lucky, though. He got lucky.
He did. He did get lucky. I'll come to it and touch on it a bit later, but when you think about the team selection, you've got a few other players that could have probably played fullback. I mean, Jake Mamo played fullback for quite a long time for Huddersfield and so on. He's played for Warrington at fullback. Mm. Makes you wonder, doesn't it, whether we should have considered that as part of the team selection. But I don't know. At the end of the day, it's Greg Inglis, isn't it? So
I think he's simmering. I think he's coming into his own Inglis. I thought they were very harsh. Some of the journalists said he was unfit and didn't look at his best against Hull KR, but I thought his presence on the field as the game went on started to show. And once he scored that try, you know, he was trying to bollock them all, saying this is what needs to be done. No one was listening to him, but he was there sort of supporting it. And this week, I just thought, as the game crept into that second half, he was looking more and more dangerous in terms of joining in the line and coming up with something, Sam. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's dangerous to underestimate just what he brings or what he apparently brings in terms of experience and aura. When he's at the back and you're being told by one of the all-time greats where to be, what to do, you do it. You don't question it, you do it. And yes, he doesn't look quite up to speed yet. And yes, when the ball bounced and Drinkwater potentially would have scored, it's because he's given himself an extra 4 or 5 yards by dropping back that bit further. But that pace will come. That pace will come a bit more this week, a bit more the week after. And boy, I'm excited to see him when he's up to full speed.
I saw him play at Brookvale a few years ago for Souths at fullback. And I remember that night just how far back he stands. It's nothing new, that standing back that he's all doing. Right, okay. You know, he'll stand 30 metres back from his sort of defensive line. So there's something in it. 42nd minute, it would turn out to be Warrington's last points of the match as Widdop nails another long-range penalty to make it 16-0. Again, the penalty comes from Greg English, joining into the line, getting whacked round the head, and we kick the goal. Jake, are you liking what you're seeing from Greg English at the moment?
Oh, definitely. He's a fantastic player. Can't wait to see him when we get back in the stadium.
Who's your Greg Inglis in your team, mate? Who would you say is the one that you say, give it to him?
I'd say Matt Price, definitely.
He's fast, strong. Mm. What's his game plan?
He just goes for it. He's like Satoki Ekwuor, just absolutely goes for it when he gets the ball.
Are you more creative, Jake? Is that your sort of style of play? Are you sort of mm-hmm. Are you a bit like a Phil Clark?
Yep.
Oh, Jesus. Shouldn't have mentioned that.
Phil Clark? Oh, in his playing days.
In his playing days, Dennis.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah.
What follows that score is a series of errors by Wyatt, leading to them not being able to put the game away, and gives Catalans hope. Blake Austin drops a pass cold near the Catalans try line. Thulis is penalised for not playing the ball correctly, only for moments later to make up for it with a twirling in and out break of 60 metres. And following the break and the Catalans players trying to catch their breath, Matt Davis lets them off the hook with another knock on. We just couldn't put it to bed, Sam, could we? We seemed to be there, and we just need to kick it and get it down their end of the field. And we kept coming up with these little errors here and there.
Yeah, I'm going to be a bit picky here. I thought we played really well, really well for 50 minutes. And then the last 30 minutes, in terms of in possession, it was a bit like going back several weeks or even to the back end of last year, where we looked like we had the game for the winning and we couldn't put them to bed. Absolutely no doubt about our effort and our ability in defence, but we had enough chances there to have scored the killer try and we didn't.
Mm. We look, I think, still close to the line, so flat.
Mm, yes.
I've been watching too much NRL, but I was watching Melbourne the other night when that winger scored about 24 tries. And the depth Melbourne come from.
Yeah,
you know,
do.
There's two dummy runners. They beautifully miss out the centre. The amount of times the pass doesn't actually go to the centre, it goes from the second row player or the 5/8 out to the winger. And I just thought, when we were sort of coming left and you could see Inglis sort of getting into the line, he never really got the ball and we just looked so flat.
We do.
It seems to me that that out of the six tackles, three of them are really just sort of not really inventive, being set for it. It's just sort of like almost getting set for the one big play in the six and nothing happens.
But the one big play is so flat. You know, they set themselves up and you're like, right, you're going to have a few dummy runners, you're going to have someone on the inside. There's nothing. It's just, they don't even, as my dad said to me this week, at times they don't even draw their man. It's just they pass it along the line.
Rob, I do agree with you that we're too flat and we've been too flat. No, we've been too flat.
Brace yourself, Jake. Brace yourself. Brace yourself. Sam, Dennis is going to let the alarm off.
We've been too flat for a few years now. However, I would like your opinion.
Press the button, Dennis. Press the button.
No, I would like your opinion. Having watched the two previous games, when Blake Austin wasn't there, if Ratchford had been on the field, do you think we would have had a little bit, not a huge amount, but more threat on the right-hand side, hence giving the left-hand side more space? Because I felt Austin ran well, tackled as hard as I've seen him tackle for a while, but still nothing, absolutely nothing comes from him in terms of passing out to his right. So we're only attacking one way and it's easy for the defence. We have to do something special when the defence know we've only got one attack move and that attack move is to go towards Widdop and to go out towards Curry. That's the only move we've got.
Right, that's a long question. Go on then, Rob.
I just have a sip of coffee, hang on just a sec.
Jake, what do you think to that? Did you follow that? Because I didn't.
No, I couldn't.
Well, I think that Sam's absolutely, I think he's hit the nail on the head, that there's no doubt that Ratchford is more creative in terms of he understands how to draw a man and pass the ball, and Austin just looks programmed. You know, once they worked out Austin's little show and go, I mean, he had that game against Hull a couple of years ago where it seemed no one had watched any video footage of Blake Austin. But now all of a sudden they've seen what he can do. He still tries to do it, and occasionally he gets through the gap. He definitely had a passport up his arse because he tackled better during the game. You could clearly see that. But I don't think it comes down to Ratchford or Blake Austin. I think the fact that they're standing so shallow comes down to the coaching. That's something that's coached. It's not. It's nothing to do with the players, if that's the way they've been told to stand.
Who coaches your team, Jake?
We have Will, and we have Andy, and we have Liam from the Wolves Foundation.
Yeah. All right. And do they coach you anything near the line or anything like that that we've just been talking about?
Yep.
What sort of things? Are you allowed to tell us the secrets?
No, or I'd have to kill you.
Quick, tell us. Tell us.
I'm going back down south.
Well, it'd be interesting to see when Powell comes in just how deep we start to stand in comparison to this year, because certainly Castleford seem to play with a bit more width.
Yeah. The only thing I'd say there, Bob, it's nothing new, this. We've been standing flat before that, even in Tony Smith's time, we weren't deep. We weren't deep. It seems to be something different, fundamentally different. And as you say, watching Melbourne, they're coming from 10, 15, 20 metres back at times, aren't they? We're coming from 3 or 4 metres back.
Standing still. Totally different. Jay, I know that a couple of the players you told me last week when we had a chat turn up to your games or certainly help out. Who are the boys that really stand out, that come along and give up their own time?
Steve Price, Danny Walker, Lee Breers mostly.
They're the ones that come. Doesn't Sitter come along as well a bit?
Yeah.
And Benny Westwood used to come a bit until he had to start flipping the burgers. Oh. Have you had a Benny Westwood burger, mate? What do you make of them?
No.
Kept away, have you?
I've not had one
yet. Good lad. Keep away. Best thing for you. Okay. Well, 62nd minute. Finally, the good ball position leads to Catalan's try, flinging the ball from left to right. McMeekin gets over with Maloney hitting the two to make it 16-6. I wish we got McMeekin, Dennis. I like McMeekin. He's a big unit, McMeekin. Mean bastard.
Yeah, I liked him. But I have to say, having followed him now on Instagram a while back and watching a few of his games...
Is he a knobhead?
No, he's not. He's not. But he does make an awful lot of mistakes.
On Instagram?
I don't know. No, not on Instagram. No, solid. Definitely not that. You'd need someone like Sam to pick the wheat from the chaff to see if that's a factor of him receiving the ball a lot and being one of the main sort of players. He's nodding as though he's already got that, or making a note of it.
That's good. He's gone about 45 minutes now. McMeekin.
I'm writing that down for next week.
Excellent.
67th minute, Widdett misses his first penalty of the evening. Score remains at 16-6. And the final 10 minutes or so sees the Wolves under more goal line defensive pressure, but an outstanding effort tames the Dragons' fire. Final score, Catalan 6, Warrington 16. Finally, we seem to have found a bit of form, Dennis. Seem to be sort of going in the right direction. Steve Price has got a smile on his face. He was doing little handshakes with Lee Breers. It's all looking quite good.
It is, isn't it? I think it was definitely different. 6 is what Sam's holding up. What's that, Sam?
Unbeaten in 6 games now.
Oh.
Unbeaten in 6 games. There you go.
Quite interesting the way he put his fingers up there then, because he didn't put them up like you'd expect. Yeah. He put them up like a chimpanzee, the way he sort of... Interesting.
Yeah. Good to see he's got all his fingers.
Yeah, that's true. Jake, do you think we're coming into form, mate? Are you quite confident?
Maybe not.
No, sitting on the fence there. Interesting.
We'll see.
The our league application that had its live online streaming service hacked by thousands of fans during last week's game has implemented tighter security. Head of Super League IT, Mr. Chocolate Fireguard, was quoted as saying their service would no longer run through a ZX Spectrum, with them updating to a state-of-the-art Commodore 64. This week, all Rugby League commentators were enrolled on a memory test course. This followed Matty Ashton being called Matty Ashurst, Greg Inglis being called Greg Austin, Blake Austin being called Greg Austin, Josh Thoulis being called Josh Thoulis, Jake Mamo being called Jake Marmo, Matty Davis being called Mike Cooper or Ben Curry being called Matty Davis, and Mike Cooper seemingly not to exist. The course was set to take place on Tuesday, but was cancelled, following several commentators losing their way on the way to the venue. And finally, speculation mounts on insider trading taking place at Castleford, after rumours surfaced Daryl Powell was enticing several players away from the Tigers to the wire. Powell denied the allegations, stating he was focusing purely on his Castleford obligations before taking a sip of coffee from his Wolves mug and driving home in his Warrington onesie.
Well, there are the headlines. Let's get on to the stories. Steve Price confirms that Matty Ashton's injury is more serious than first thought, with Ashton set to have surgery on his ankle, with Ashton expected to be out for 3 months. Dennis, you're not happy with that? Big sigh, big look of forlorn face there.
Every time we get him and he just gets into the side, he gets injured.
We had a few messages this week to say he's a bit of a pipe cleaner, Matty Ashton. You know, he's always injured. So,
what do you mean?
Well, just the fact, pipe cleaner.
What? I've never heard that.
No,
expression.
I've not either.
Three people.
Jake,
have three
have
people,
you heard that expression, Jake?
Three people have sent me messages to say he's a pipe cleaner.
No, never heard it.
No.
That's fallen flat.
The Challenge Cup semi-finals will take place on Saturday, the 5th of June. Hull versus Saints and Wyre versus Castleford. Jake, do you think we'll beat Cass? Big semi-final. Our coach there. What do you reckon, mate?
Maybe. Let's wait and see.
You can't say maybe. That's what Sankey does. You're going to... Come on. Get your balls out and tell us. Come on, son.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Good stuff. Jack Hughes has been suspended for one game following an incident in the Catalans match. He'll miss the game against Huddersfield. We put a little vote out last night just to sort of see where we stand with Jack Hughes' form. It's still going. It's got another 8 hours to run, but we've had 182 votes. The question was, following Jack Hughes' one-match ban, how would you rate the Warrington captain's form this season? We go four options, 4 stars, 3 stars, 2 stars and 1 star. The winner was 2 stars with 42%. 3 stars, 36%. Only 7% for 4 stars and 15% went for 1 star. I went for 2 stars, I have to say, boys. I didn't vote because clearly I'm putting this together and that would be insider voting. But I would definitely say 2 stars, Dennis.
Just a minute. Yeah, I've just voted. It's still going, so it's not actually closed. So that's that. I think 2 stars is what it is. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny, though, how players come in and out of form? I mean, we're talking about Toby King, and I know we'll talk about him in a bit, but, you know, getting better and better. And then some of the players that are just going off the boil a bit. You know, we talked about Blake Austin till we're all flaked in our face. That doesn't sound very good. And Jack Hughes is another one of those, isn't he, really? Where, you know, a very consistent player. We always used to question, what does he do, this, that and the other. But actually, what does he do?
OK, brace yourselves, everyone. We have a new section. Cue the music.
Rumours! Everybody needs good rumours! With a little understanding, you can find your perfect blend. Come on, Stevie, join in, lad. Rumours should be there for one another. That's when good rumours become good friends. Jesus, I'm going to have to sing this at Lee as well.
Yes, many thanks there to Chris Hill and Steve Price for recording there for the podcast. This is a rumours section because Madam Boyd has been coming under a lot of slack recently. It seems whatever she puts out on Twitter, straight away all the norms are like,
yeah, you don't fucking know that, you don't know that at all, it's fucking bollocks. I'm a fucking norm.
Sorry, it just gets my goat a little bit, that. So I'm pretty much sick of it. And if you're going to start criticising, at least learn to speak fucking English.
Ooh, right.
Bloody hell. Oh, bloody hell.
I'm fucking not that. I spell there wrong and you are and I can't punctuate. I'm a fucking gnome.
Sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, okay.
Have you got that off your chest, mate?
Yeah, Jesus. I can only apologise, Jake. It's never usually like this. It's usually Sam who's swearing.
Right, here are the rumours. Daryl Clark is on his way either to the Bulldogs or the Titans. Blake Austin is signing for either the Titans or Salford. George Williams is on his way to Wyre from Canberra. Olivia Holmes has signed for the Wolves. Peter Matauti has signed for the Wolves. And Jake Truman has reported to have signed for the Wolves for a price tag of £270,000. Which one should we start at, Dennis? Come on you go.
I'm starting. Peter Matauti, it was written down, he's crossing the M62. If he's crossing the M62, he's not coming to Warrington. He would have to cross the M6 to cross to Warrington.
Yes, he would.
Crossing the M62, he'd be crossing to somewhere else in Yorkshire. So that's the first one. Let's get rid of that one.
Right, so I'll put a tick next to Peter Matauti as definitely signed for Warrington.
Yes, I've heard that from two different sources, but neither has come...
Traffic police?
Yeah, neither has come from the source that usually tells me things that are right.
Right. Well, Jake Truman reported to have signed for Wire with a price tag of £270,000. This has come from the same man that told us Greg Inglis hit his head on the light fitting when he moved into the bungalow.
I like this.
Is it Oliver? Olivia or Oliver? What's his
Oliver.
Name?
Oliver
Holmes. Yeah, he wouldn't be called Olivier, would he, if he was living in Castleford. Having played 24 seasons at Castleford and at the age of 42 was signed for Warrington. Sam, this one pretty much seems nailed on that he has signed, even though he has crossed the wrong motorway. You happy with Olivier Holmes coming to Warrington, as I will be calling him now going forward?
Yes, Olivier. Lawrence is this, or is it Olivier Newton-John?
So. He's only 28.
Yeah,
he's like that bloke. You know that bloke from Papua New Guinea who played for Hull KR that was like, you know.
Oh yeah,
Stanley Jeans.
Who are just a little bit.
Yeah, for me.
That was Gina G.
This guy is a very good player.
Is he?
Yes, he's a good, very good player. It remains
is he okay?
No, he's better than okay. He's good. It remains to be seen who, if anybody, replaces. That's the key, isn't it? Because...
Is it?
I thought we've got 14 players off contract, so there's plenty to be going.
Because if he's replacing Jason Clark, for example, who presumably is going home to work on the docks with his dad...
Write that down for mutiny on the HJ, Dennis.
I know, I've got that.
In the
I've
docks.
Got that
it. That's going in
got
next
it.
Week. Brilliant.
Then I'd be absolutely delighted with that. You know, very good player, consistent
You're
year
a big
in,
fan
year
of
out. Yeah. And he won't be on a huge wedge.
Yeah. Is that what they get paid?
Yes. He gets paid in pipe cleaners.
We missed that, and I do apologise for whatever that joke was.
Daryl Clark on his way to either the Bulldogs or the Titans. Seems to be that there's been a story out. This is quite interesting, actually. There was a story put out there that the Titans have lost interest. I've since been told that the agent always does that because it's a case of, we'll start to look like we've lost interest just to keep the price tag within a reasonable amount of money. So I don't think they have lost interest. I think there's just a bit of gamesmanship going on here in terms of the actual fee.
Yeah. Do you think they would like him as long as it's for the right price? Is that basically what we're saying?
Yeah, and I think they've pushed the price up and they've gone, well, let's just pretend to go cold and we'll meet him halfway, because I think he's made his mind up, he's going.
Jake, do you get to hear any of these rumours while you're knocking about with all the lads in the foundation?
Not really, no.
No? Do you pay attention to any of the rumours that are going knocking about?
I should do, but... Maybe I don't.
Have you heard any rumours, Jake? Any rumours at all?
None at all.
Because the thing is, we've only got this lad who talks about, you know, Greg Inglis banging his head on a light fitting. We need a bit more, you know, information.
I've read them, but I haven't heard them.
All right. No. Ask Lee, right. What you need to do, Jake, just say to Lee, who are leaving, where are they going to, and what are you doing next year, mate? And then come back on next week and tell us. Lee will tell you, no problem.
I've just noticed on the screen that, you know, when we're all talking, it sort of lights up who's talking, and it's got, you know, my name there, it's got Sam's name there, it's got Dennis's name. When Jake lights up, he's got journalist written next to his name. He's really getting ahead of himself, isn't he? No, I've not typed that. Oh, he's typed that. Yeah, yeah. He's got... Just go on, just talk, Jake. Just say something. Let's just see what it says.
Hello.
Radio host, sports journalist, and some vlogger, I think it says, or something.
Vlogger?
Oh, dear.
What's a vlogger?
As a video blogger.
Oh, well done, Sam.
That. I wasn't
well
expecting done, Sam. Sam to
wasn't
come back.
I wasn't expecting Sam to come back with that. We're all waiting for Jake to speak, and Sam comes back with that. Okay, the next one. Blake Austin has signed for either the Titans or Salford. I saw this week that he seems to have bought some terrace somewhere in Warrington. He's got himself a property investment in Warrington, which I have to say is probably going to be a bit flaky for him. Sam, you've got something on the real estate here.
I've got something on the real estate. An extended member of my family sold it to him.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, right. Come on. Tell us what it's got. What's it like? Come on.
Tell it. Yeah. What's it like?
I think that would be too much for me to give detail, but it was a property in Latchford, and it's an excellent rental potential.
Jesus,
we're not interested in the price. We just want to know, like, how many bedrooms has it got? Has it got a mirror on the ceiling? That sort of thing.
None of that. Three bed.
Right. Okay. So if he's bought an investment property in Latchford, he's clearly going to Salford. Is what I would say. So we'll take that one off. Blake Austin to Salford. Big Nose George Williams has finally got homesick in Canberra. It seems that he has signed for Wigan. A lot of stories going around that he signed for Warrington, but I think he's going back to where he knows, isn't he?
Canberra, a shithole. I mean, John Bateman didn't like it.
Well,
either, did he?
You know, it's got a lot of culture down in Canberra. The IQ in Canberra is quite high in comparison to anywhere else in the country because there's a tremendous amount of IT and civil service jobs. So it is in certain ways...
Boring.
Yeah, it's got a lot of culture, though. There's a lot
it's
going on
It's a bit
on
like
there.
Washington, D.C., though, isn't it? It's a very specific...
Yeah, but you don't get murdered on the street every 5 minutes. Yeah. No. So it's not really like Washington, D.C. at all.
But it's a very specific place on its own. It's very different from the rest of...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anywhere else called Canberra.
Yeah, they built it between Sydney and Melbourne because they were arguing what was going to be the capital. But, I mean, I go down there with work a bit and, you know, it's... It's got a lot going for it.
Boring.
I don't think... Well, no, I think it's probably got the cultural ambience of things that John Bateman and George Williams really wouldn't be into, like art galleries, a lot of theatre, a lot of bespoke eateries. I can't really
can
see
we,
them
Can we do a
in.
Feature on Canberra next week?
Well, I'll write it up. I'll write
and then
it
we can,
up
And we
minutes.
Can decide whether it's really interesting
it's,
or not.
It's basically not got Bondi Beach, has it, Rob? It's not got Bondi Beach.
But you can get to beautiful, stunning beaches down the south coast within an hour's drive. You can ski within an hour and a half. I mean, it's I could think of worse places to live in the world. So, Latchford! Sorry, carrying on. Any more rumours, anyone? Anyone got anything else?
I've got a rumour. Lee Braze is to have a statue made in his honour. The Wire fans are going to be asked to where to site it. So far, they've said the Lord Rodney, King's Head, or the London Bridge in Stockton Heath.
Mulberry Tree. Yeah.
Jake, any rumours for us, mate?
I have a rumour.
Right.
Oh, what?
London Desperate Rugby League is coming back earlier than scheduled. We were meant to start in June, we're now starting late May.
Oh, it's a first on the podcast. First on the podcast from Jake the journalist.
Getting back out on the pitch. This month.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. To go. Are you going to be quite aggressive, Jake, when you get out there? All that tension built up in you for the last 12 months. You're going to actually smash someone first game. Good on you, lad. excellent. Sam, have you got anything for us? You're a bit pissed. You always let your loose mouth open up when you're a bit pissed. Come on, what have you got for us? Come on, Sam.
No, I've heard a few things, but nothing from my normal source. Oh, I'll tell you one thing I did hear. And again, just he seems to be linked with everybody, but Widdop to the Titans because Fogarty is on his way. So Widdop's another one.
But, Carl Fogarty.
Yeah, Carl Fogarty. Jamal.
Wasn't he on Coronation Street? Didn't he beat up Jack Duckworth or something? Wasn't that Carl Fogarty?
Was it? Yeah, I think. Was it Carl Fogarty? No. He was on a few things, wasn't he? It'll come to us before the end of the pod.
What's Olivier Holmes been in? What was he in? Anything exciting? He's won a couple of BAFTAs, hasn't he, Olivier Holmes?
Oh, Holmes Under the Hammer for
write that down. Oh, it's Holmes Under the Hammer. Olivier Holmes reporting on rental properties in Latchford.
Yeah. Especially when he plays shit.
What was that, Jake? Sorry, mate.
Is his brother Sherlock on the case about the rumour?
Oh, yeah, write that down, Dennis. Sherlock in there as well. Get that in. We've got Jen. You're not getting any money for this, Jake, by the way, just because you're coming up with good ideas.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. Excellent.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms. It's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics.
Right. Well, I had a drastic rewrite about an hour ago for this because, well, don't huff and puff, Dennis. Don't huff and puff.
I haven't said a thing.
Right,
I was just going to say, as your dog pissed on the script, but carry on.
Can I just apologise to the listeners that in the intro I mentioned that Sam was doing statistics on Primrose and Blue. Turns out he's not doing statistics on Primrose and Blue. That was a joke. That was a Sankey joke.
Yeah, obviously, as we heard in the intro, my humour is not my strong point. Not sure what my strong point is, but it's not humour.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a drastic rewrite. I was going to look at Huddersfield versus Warrington and the super coach that is Ian Watson compared to Steve Price, but we'll come on to that a bit later in the preview for the next match. I thought, given that so much press seemed to be about Toby...
Jake, if you want to go and get a coffee or something now, mate, it's fine. Just next 10 minutes. I'll call you back in when he's finished.
I know, I'd say about seven minutes. Given that Toby King has currently signed for Hull Kingston Rovers on $140,000, he's going to the south of France. Well, he's going to the south of France to play Catalan because that's where he wants to go. Or he's going to St. Helens because they're getting rid of Kevin Nakama. I thought we'd look at centres and whether a centre...
Thank God for that.
...is actually worth marquee money.
Mm.
Now, if we look at Toby King, first of all, I've got to say, I hope he re-signed. He's a very good player. And if I was looking at my squad... I'd have my two marquee players and then my next three or four top earners, Toby King would be in that bracket.
Sam, do you think he's priced himself out of Warrington? Is that what we're thinking?
No, I don't think that...
It's a king's ransom.
I don't think that yet. But if, and I don't know, I have no idea what Warrington have offered him. But let's assume it's $120,000. Let's just assume that, and someone else has offered him 140. Well, you could say $20,000's not a huge amount of money when you're already earning 120. But over 3 years, £60,000 is a lot of money.
It's a house in Latchford.
It's a house in Latchford.
Two houses in Latchford.
Well, it's only one at the minute, Rob. But you're right. It's probably two houses in Longford.
It's the south of the river fucking version of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anything. 2 houses. Get 3 houses over there.
So I've looked at the form centres in the competition. So I've looked at And these are
Are you looking at their real estate and what they're living in?
No, I'm looking at the stats.
That's a good idea.
I'm looking at Zach Hardacre, who's played centre and fullback, Josh Griffin and Carlos Tumavami at...
Who's Army?
Yeah, Oliver's. Olivia's.
It's an easier name there.
Army at home.
Olivia's Army.
Yeah. Peyton Matautia and Shenton at Castleford. And Nagama and Percival at Saints. I've discounted. I actually think the best centre in this country is probably Oliver Gildart at Wigan. But he's played 8 games in 2 years. His body doesn't look like...
How the fuck is he the best centre in the competition?
Because before he got injured, his numbers were way in advance of anyone else, but it looks like his body's going to fail him.
So he's the best centre in the country, is he, Sam? He's played 8 games in 2 years.
And his body's going to fail him.
I think he's the most talented. A bit like Johnston on the wing at Wakefield. He's a super talented kid, but every time he plays a dozen games, he then breaks down again, which is a shame. So if we look at Toby King...
You're right, Jake.
Yeah, try-scored...
Right, okay, no, you're right. Hang in there, mate. Hang in there, buddy. Hang in.
Try-scored is top of the charts at the minute with 5 tries in terms of other centres. He's equal first in try assists. He's equal second in tackles, but he's only 5th equal in terms of missed tackles. So there's 4 players better than him at tackling. There's 4 players better than him at breaking tackles. He's only the 6th best meter maker, and he's only the 5th best in terms of average gain. Where he does win is offloads. However, I'm going to say this.
Can we just say that Jake's gone on his phone?
That's great. I'm going to say this. The best 2 centres in the country at the minute are Zach Hardacre and Liam Farrell. That's right. Liam Farrell, the 2nd row forward, has scored 3 tries, 2 try assists, made 840 metres, 27 tackle breaks, fewer errors, fewer missed tackles, more carries. That in fact, if Shane Warne was picking a team tomorrow to face Australia this weekend, I think he'd put a 2nd row at centre. So Toby King, I like him, I want him to stay, but don't pay too much money for him.
Oh, right, okay. So he's gone. Yeah. What's the next? Have you got another bit in your stats?
No,
Sam,
no, he hasn't got any more.
No,
that's
I haven't.
Enough.
No, that's enough.
Sorry, okay. Jesus Christ. Jake, would you like to see Toby King? Yeah, go for it.
I was just going to say on Peyton Matautai, do you out there have care and support needs? Do you want to be able to learn some of the best hints and tips on how to achieve all of your life goals and dreams? Then join myself, Craig Thomason, Brennett Dillon, and Peyton Matautai for a brand new session on Zoom called the Inspiration Sessions that are run on behalf of Community Integrated Care, who are an absolutely fantastic charity. It's going to be all about thinking positively. It's going to be fab. Get yourself on it.
Brilliant, Jake. That's, and what we can also do there is edit Sam's section completely out and just replace it with that. Fantastic.
Peyton Matautai's stats, he actually makes 9.8 metres per carry, which is number 1 out of all centres playing at the moment.
Yeah, but he's no Olivia Gildart, is he? Oof.
And time now to see what those buffoons have been up to on HMS HJ. Although those norms in the north do tend to pronounce their H's with a her. It often makes one wonder how on earth they communicate with each other. Still, I guess when they're in their tiny little astroturf backyards, drinking special brew in their chubby hot tubs, no one's quoting Jane Austen.
Ooh. Oh, I don't know about you, Stevie, but all of a sudden, I'm feeling rather hot under the collar.
Do you think it's the male menopause, Rolfie?
Oh, I wouldn't think so, Stevie. The only man who pauses around here is Petty Officer Charnley.
To his credit, Rolfie, I think he's only a week away from being shipshape.
Oh, well, that's good to hear, Stevie. Since we've left port, he's been a bit of a shipwreck.
Struth, Rolfo, I'm feeling rather warm too. And the sun seems to be getting broader and broader.
Oh, dear. You've clearly not got up to Gary Carter's rugby league section.
Oh, I haven't felt this hot, Rolfie, since my ring piece chafed up the day after I asked for extra onions at Benny Westwood's food emporium.
Oh, quick, Stevie. We need to get our bearings before the crew become delirious. Charge up the David Plange paint-tinted Ando Geocam team drone. Oh, and don't forget to send it sky-high, Stevie. Use the Ando Extended Edition 423-page user manual to program it.
Right you are, Rolfie. Leave it to me. It's my speciality when I've completely lost all direction. I send up a high speculator.
What can you see on the display panel?
Oh, Stone the Crows, Rolfie! Stone the Crows! You won't believe this! It's a picture of me!
No, Stevie. You need to turn it on. That's your reflection.
Oh, sorry, Rolfo. It says the Rock of Giblets.
Oh, tackle sacks. It's the Rock of Gibraltar. We've gone the long way round.
Jeez, I've not ended a creek this deep since the night I lost my resilience to that hooker in Woolloomooloomaloo.
The ship's been listing for 6 days, Stevie. I told Dick Candavis to loosen his headband and allow a correction of 15% easterly tolerance on the rudder for the heavy cargo in the hold.
Oh, that's no way to talk about Professor Broomhead.
Oh, dear. Wait a minute, Stevie. That's normally my line. Where's all this added confidence come from all of a sudden?
Oh, I've had my chin up, Rolfo, ever since Commodore Fitzpatrick cast Midshipman Henderson and Cabin Boy Brears adrift on the Loyloy.
Chin up? I'm presuming you're being metaphorical. Yes, with Commodore Fitzpatrick putting two of your crew members on notice, you got off the hook, so to speak.
Yeah, it's plain sailing all the way now, Rolfoy.
It is a pity it's in the wrong direction. Let's get Quartermaster Hill and Carpenter Cooper to erect the Mascord Satellite Dish Navigation Unit.
Oi, boys! Can you help with my erection?
To me, to you, to me, to you. You've got it, to me, to you. Right, that's it, Michael, you've got it now.
Ooh, Christopher, you really are a different man lately. Ever since you've given up all those responsibilities and that horrible sailor, Ashton Pym, stopped coming between us, you've had no problem getting it up.
Thanks, Michael. Hey, up, Pricey. Which direction do you want me to point this thing in?
Towards the south, I think.
Oh, dear. You are such a footwit, Stevie. I mean, think he means northwest, chaps. Do you need any tools to fix it in place?
Right you are. Can you pass me that obsolete, rusty one-eighth spanner over there?
Well, that's no way to talk about, Stevie.
Thank you. Thank you so much, boss. Normal service has been resumed in the script. Thank you. Although that may be the best way to describe Stevie. What do you think, Nelston?
Can't.
Okay. Right, I'm disappointed this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed. There was no celebrity guest.
No.
Where was this week's celebrity guest? I've got used to looking forward to a celebrity guest. There was no celebrity guest.
Well, you'll be pleased to know there is one next week.
Excellent, excellent.
And Dennis is doing the voice.
Excellent. Highlights this week. I'm still looking forward to actually pinning down exactly what the parrot says. I know what the parrot's supposed to be saying, but I'm still trying to pin down exactly what he's saying.
Excellent. And so get everybody to listen to that.
Yeah, and the breaking of the fourth wall, I thought was a bit of, I suppose on audio, you're probably breaking the third wall, I guess, but the breaking of the fourth wall with Ralph speaking to the audience, that was a bit of a highlight.
Can I just say that Nelson isn't a parrot, he's a galah.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough, yes. Yeah.
Is he?
It's flaming galah. Yeah.
Or as we call them, parrots.
What do you think of the mutiny on the HJ, Jake?
I'll get ready to cut him off, Dennis. I've got my finger on the button.
I think it's a very good piece of drama.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Lovely.
Thank you, Jake. Yes. Are you free next week, Jake, by any chance? Free next week? Excellent.
It's time now for Fails or the Unexpected.
A wise man believes only in lies, trusts only in the absurd, and learns to expect the unexpected.
I personally think this story is funny, but if your sense of humour doesn't happen to be the same as mine, then I'm afraid you're going to be a bit disturbed by what goes on.
Right, well, this week I'm going to start with the unexpected. I'm going to focus on Steve Price. Yes, yes, I know, that's unexpected. And in particular, I'm looking at the changing in Mr. Price's coaching style over the last week or so. His team selection, which I have to say has been unexpected, is something that we should focus on. I'm asking whether he's a wolf in sheep's clothing or is he a leopard that's changed his spots? So, now the examples I'm going to use are the ones where, when you look at the bench...
Are the first in
over
Google?
The last few outings, eh?
The examples you're going to use are the first in Google, I'd say. That's what you do every week.
No. You know, when you look at the last few outings, we've seen more forwards to support the Dad's Army front row. And clearly it's a change of tact from earlier in the season where we mentioned about the resilient, underutilised bench. So there's definitely been a change there. Next, he took the bold step to hide Greg Austin's passport and hide his work permit as well, because he didn't play the following week. He hid the work permit in Professor Broomhead's lunchbox, thus dropping the marquee player from the first team. And what a happy balance that's proven to be as a result. Again, another very clear and decisive move. And the word resilience is back in the post-match interview. You know, we've not heard that for some time. This was Steve Price's catchphrase when he arrived at the club. So it's the re-emergence of optimism, I would suggest. And in answering whether GI was always in the plan to play fullback, Steve Price inferred that that was only because Matty Ashton was injured. So he's therefore suggesting he now considers Ashton as the number one fullback and not Ratchford. Again, another significant change. And finally, was it a tactical genius that by having GI at fullback, he saw the opportunity to use GI's experience on the field in more of a coaching, organising everybody from the rear and potentially threatening them all to kick his ass if they were going to let anybody through, of course. But actually, that seemed to work, because I think we could all say that, you know, Greg's never going to run anybody down if they break the line. But certainly with the threat of anybody breaking the line, it's obviously keeping some of the players out. So actually, I would suggest that Price is probably doing a lot well, which is unexpected.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And he resisted the opportunity to bring Tom Lynham straight back into the team and instead played Josh Thewlis on the wing.
I'd keep Thewlis. Would you keep Thewlis on the wing, Jake?
Yep.
Would you bring Lynham back?
No.
Carry on, Dennis.
So I put it to the team that Steve Price has changed the look of the side in the last few weeks and would suggest he has become a wolf in leopard's clothing, spotting an opportunity to gain favour with his critics.
Ooh.
And I would go as far as to say that when you look at a relationship, there are six stages of a relationship. I don't know if you can see it. I've got a visual going on here. You can't see it. So I will describe it for our podcast fans. It starts off with courtship. And quickly, if you're looking on a graph, the curve
goes up quite a lot.
Yes.
Hang on, let me just... I've got dick pics written down here. Let me just cross that out.
No, I just have to say, Rob's been married six times, so his graphical outlook is more like a roller coaster ride. But the curve goes up, and you hit the honeymoon period, so you're at the peak. Then you start to get internal and external stresses, and then it dips down, and then it becomes stagnation. And after the stagnation period, we hit three typical things in a relationship. It can either A, go to rekindling and suddenly go up again. It could be settling, straight line, or it could be down and it's terminated. So I would like to put to the group, where do we think Steve Price will end up after the stagnation of 2020?
I think he'll pack his bags, to be honest, be on his way back to Australia. That's the way I see
it. So that's termination.
Yeah, I'd go termination.
Pack his bags. Lee Brazier's coach.
Well,
you do realise we've signed Daryl Powell, don't you, Jake? Did you miss that one?
Yeah.
No, I think he means for the rest of this year.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah.
No, What do you think, Sam? I think there's a little bit of a rekindling, almost the opposite to the honeymoon period, whatever that would be, where there's a last fling. And I think there'd be a last fling before he goes off at the end of the season as planned.
And would you have alcohol in there?
Yes.
Is this going to be a new section now, Steve Price idioms? Is that what we're going to run with now?
He's looked up Google, hasn't he?
Perfect storm, picture is worth a thousand words, actions speak louder than words, add insult to injury. Yeah. All idioms that Steve Price could be using in the next couple of weeks.
When is it? Sorry, Dennis, because you've obviously done a lot of work on Stevie this week. Can I ask at what point the weather will get warm enough for him to not wear his snood?
It's an interesting point, isn't it? Well, talking of which, let's go into fails.
Oh, right.
This week, artificial unintelligent sound effect. Now, with the lockdown coming to an end, hopefully, so will the artificial crowd noise.
Are you all right, Jake?
Yes. Jake. The last few weeks of televised matches have really been getting on my nerves. The constant drone of a so-called noise has led to a dramatic increase in the number of people reporting tinnitus. Some Twitter comments left by fans on the subject described the noise as like my next door neighbour having a long protracted shit. Quite interesting. Someone else had put, it's the same noise as my wife's Tiger Vibe G5, whatever that is. And I'm sick of the bum fuzzle that those two Muppets spout out every week on Sky. I think they got a bit confused between the crowd noise and Terry and Barry there. Anyway, now it wouldn't come as a surprise to you that you may have forgotten the natural sound of certain rugby league venues and the sounds. I've created a little quiz for you. So I would like you to guess the venue, taking from some of the sounds recorded from the Brian Bevan, What Would Brian Bevan archive. I'm going to play
now,
four
don't play,
games.
Jake, brace yourself, mate. Just get ready for this.
It's all right. There's no alarms. So I will play a little extract from four games taken from the terraces of my many visits to the grounds over the years, taken them with my Bush T480 portable cassette recorder. Right. So I'm going to play you the four sounds. See if this works. So this is number one.
Number one.
Any ideas?
Mutiny on the HJ.
The Crucible.
What did you say, Jake?
Somewhere near Whitby.
Ooh, not bad. Rugby league venue near Whitby. Can you think of any on that coast over there?
Newcastle.
The KCOM Stadium.
Ooh, there you go. I think that was Hull KR.
Oh,
so, okay. Just there. You ready? Here's number two.
Number two.
Wants out a pint, he wants your chips, love.
Chicken kidney, please.
There you go, Mum. Enjoy your walk.
Did you get that? Any idea?
It was Benny Westwood's van parked outside Wilderspool.
Possibly. Anything else? Anyone? Rob, you got anything?
Salford, possibly. Salford, round the back there.
No.
Yeah. No, Burger stand.
No, it was a pie he was ordering there, and she said, enjoy your walk. That was Wigan.
Oh, right. So we couldn't tell because the recording's so shit, we can't understand it.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I'll send you the file after.
You can edit this, can't you, Rob?
Yeah, just go with it.
You know, I mean, there's been weeks where it's been pretty shit, Fails of the Unexpected, but this really is the shittest of all.
Do you know
shits.
What that one is?
It sounded like something from outer space, sir.
It just sounded like a lot of noise.
Indeed. And what would cause a lot of noise? That's right, Jake. A big TV aerial near Wakefield. Oh, well done.
Oh, Christ.
And finally, the last one. The last one.
Number four.
London played at Brentford once and they're known as the Bees.
No, that was Lee, because the shit. And that was Fly. Shit.
Predictions.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Yes, time for our predictions. It's Warrington versus Huddersfield at the Halliwell Jones next Tuesday. And finally, and hopefully for the foreseeable future, in front of actual Wire fans. Now we need to have a little bit of a chat now, lads, because we've not actually arranged this. So we'll do this live on the podcast this week. Are we recording after the game? Because if we're not recording after
the game is on Monday and we record on Tuesday. You keep getting the dates wrong.
Oh, is it? Is the game on Monday, Sam?
Yes, the game's on Monday.
So we will be back here next Tuesday. So we have got a podcast. Okay, all right. So we're just doing the one game. I'll start with you, Jake. First of all, are you going to the match, mate?
Yes, but I haven't yet got my ticket confirmation email like nobody else has.
Oh, it's a bit of a grey area that, isn't it? You can't pick them up on the day either. It's all a bit worried. So, Sam, are you going to the match, mate?
I hope so, but I've not received my ticket confirmation either.
Oh, right. Denise, are you going to the match?
Well, I hope so, but I've not received my confirmation ticket either.
Right. Well, I've got my ticket. Rob. I've got my ticket. Oh. It came in the mail, so that's arrived. I'm over here in Sydney, and I'm all ready to go. So looking forward to it, boys. Jake, Warrington versus Huddersfield. How are you seeing this one going, mate?
This will definitely be a Warrington win. Got to be.
Give us a prediction. Give us a prediction on a score, mate.
34-12 to Warrington.
Ooh, big score. Sam?
Well, super coach Ian Watson played 7, lost 5 against against Homeward Bound Stevie, played 7, unbeaten in 6.
He really twisted that, didn't he, the way he said that then? Unbeaten in, really put spin. Wasn't very factual, was it? Real spin on it the
was
end
a,
of that.
It was 100% factual, and just, for unless, obviously, I've fingers crossed that Watson doesn't win and that Huddersfield don't win, because I'm really wanting to stick it to you that everything that Ian Watson did last year you thought was a God-given right.
Ooh, have you been listening to Mutiny on the HJ next week?
Yeah. Okay. So Warrington actually have scored twice as many tries as Huddersfield. Huddersfield have only scored 13 tries compared to Warrington's 26. We're currently, would you believe, the top scorers in the league, and we've got a better defence. I can't see anything more than a Warrington win in front of our own fans. But I don't think it would be easy.
If any of you get your tickets.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be easy. And I'm going for 19-12 to Warrington.
Dennis! Will you be watching from your window ledge? What's going to be happening?
Well, I'll be hoping to get my ticket, won't I? And, and then I'll be going.
Yeah.
I think we don't usually lose against Huddersfield, do we? When's the last time we lost against Huddersfield, Sam?
Last year.
Straight off the top now.
Last year.
That's that out. So we don't usually lose apart from last year. So I would probably say that we'll win. Although I do think Mr. Watson might come up with something special and make it quite a close game.
Ooh.
So I think it will be 20 points to 18 to one of the sides.
Okay. Right, fair enough. They've got Cesar back, haven't they? Isn't he back?
Yes. He scored 2 tries last week in their win against Leeds, but Leeds were exceptionally under strength. They were really threadbare Leeds, and the shit.
Shite. Yeah. I'll go for a narrow Warrington win. I'll go Wyre 66, Huddersfield 64.
Oh, dear.
Okay, that's it. We'll be back here next week for you to stream or download. So from a foundation player laying down the foundations to this podcast, it's a founding foundational farewell from Jake.
Bye-bye, everyone.
And from Sam, about to make his way back to his seat at the Halliwell Jones, no doubt in his accustomed, pissed-up, shouting expletive state. It's a leaving 3 minutes before the end. So long from Sam.
I'll be sober this week. All the best.
And from a lad nowhere near the HJ, slumped in his chair, membershipless, press passless, it's a ta-ra from Dennis.
Senior.
I'm Rob London, and it's still a 10,000 mile away firewall breaking our league hack from me. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Oh, I said that a bit loud. Jake's just swallowed his tongue.
Get a pipe cleaner, clean his ears out.
Crack a smile, but it's no laughing part when you've been on the murder mile. Only takes one itchy trigger.